All right, my presentation today looks at HIV testing behaviors of adults in the Deep South between the ages of 50 and 64 years old. We'll look at two populations, the general population as well as a subsample of... The presentation that I'm going to do today will look at HIV testing behaviors among Deep South residents ages 50 to 64 years old. I have no financial, personal, or other interest to disclose. The burden of chronic diseases in the Deep South, including states such as Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, and South Carolina, these areas here, there's a huge burden of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, as well as HIV. And other characteristics of this region of the United States, they're large counties with large proportions of black population, lots of poverty in rural areas. And these are characteristics that a lot of times make it, are often associated with these diseases and adverse health outcomes. And as the other presenters have mentioned, there's this cardiovascular disease and diabetes can be a comorbidity associated with HIV/AIDS. This is one of two maps from the CDC. This one looks at the rates of HIV infection, and you can see four of these Deep South states have the highest rates of HIV infection, or had the highest rates of HIV infection in 2008. And in 2008, when you look at the highest rates of AIDS, you see that five of those six states had the highest rates of AIDS. And this all comes into play when you look at the fact that older adults are oftentimes missed in the healthcare system as far as being tested for HIV because they're not perceived as being at risk for having HIV. And as a result, there's a higher proportion of them who are tested late in the disease process, and when we say late, we mean that they are diagnosed with AIDS within 1 year of receiving an HIV-positive diagnosis. And they're the bottom line is they tend to be diagnosed when they're more symptomatic. They're missed in the earlier stages. In 2005, 53% of those who developed AIDS within 12 months or either died within a year of being diagnosed with AIDS, compared to 37% in their younger counterparts. And this is a table that came from CDC that talks about time to an AIDS diagnosis, and it has two columns. In the first column is the proportion of people by age that were diagnosed with AIDS within 1 year of receiving an HIV-positive test result, compared to the other column that showed that it took longer than a year. And you can see at the bottom that that number, generally speaking, tends to get a little bit higher as you increase in age. Increased likelihood of developing laboratory abnormalities like high cholesterol and hyperglycemia when they're using antiretroviral therapies as part of the comorbidity issue with older adults or persons with HIV. And when you combine the age factor with these decreased immunity with older adults and these increased risks for cardiovascular disease and diabetes, it's just like you get, you know, one thing layered on top of the other that makes this a bigger health issue in this population. Healthy people 2020 goals, although not directly for persons 50 years and older, but it targets some of these issues, like increasing new infections that are diagnosed before they progress to AIDS, increasing their survival after an AIDS diagnosis to, you know, 3 or more years, and decreasing HIV/AIDS-related deaths. But the one that's most closely related to the presentation that I'm doing today is increasing the number of people who are infected with HIV who are aware of their HIV-positive serostatus. And I just want to highlight here that the CDC 2006 revised HIV testing guidelines does include persons, you know, 50 to 64 years old, but they're oftentimes missed in the healthcare system when it comes to HIV testing. And I also want to note here that CDC estimates that there's about 250,000 people who are HIV infected and unaware of their HIV positive serostatus. So the purpose of my study was to describe HIV testing in the population of Deep South residents between the ages of 50 to 64 years old. And we also looked at a subsample of those who had cardiovascular disease and diabetes, which are pre-existing conditions that could interact with an HIV diagnosis. Was a secondary data analysis. The source was the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Systems database from 2008, and I extracted data from the 6 Deep South states. Our sample size was just over 3,500, and we looked at people who were diagnosed with one or more of cardiovascular diseases that were reported in the BRFSS, diabetes, or a combination of both, and the age criteria was 50 to 64 years old. The outcome of interest was whether or not they had ever been tested for HIV, which was dichotomized as either tested or not tested. And we looked at chi-square tests, logistic regression, and SAS was used to run the analyses. This is just a depiction of the conceptual framework that I used to inform the work. It's the behavioral model of vulnerable populations. It's by Gelberg et al. And what it does is it looks at the influence of population characteristics such as predisposing factors such as race, ethnicity, gender, age, enabling resources, and health need, and how these all come into play in terms of influencing utilization of health services, which in this case was HIV testing. My hypothesis was that less than half of the population would have had an HIV test, and I just noted here that the target for Healthy People 2020 is for 90% of persons to know their HIV status. Prevalence of HIV testing was about 30% in the overall sample. It was a little higher in the sample of those that were diagnosed with cardiovascular disease and diabetes. There was a slight age disparity where that those who were tested were a little bit younger. Well, it was statistically, the difference was statistically significant than those who had not been tested. We also observed this association between a little higher testing rate between people who had cardiovascular disease and diabetes compared to those who had one or the other, and we looked at, we controlled for these predisposing, enabling, and health behavior factors. HIV testing among older adults, as has been suggested earlier, is suboptimal, and as shown in these data, HIV prevention efforts that target older adults are needed. Linking HIV testing to other routine screening and diagnostic procedures provides an ideal opportunity for older adults to be diagnosed earlier in the disease process. And these prevention efforts become increasingly important among older adults who have pre-existing health conditions such as HIV, such as cardiovascular disease and diabetes that can negatively impact their HIV health outcomes. Some limitations with the BRFSS data. Their HIV status was not known, nor was their sexual behavior. But I'd like to point out here that CDC has suggested that risk-based HIV testing is not effective, so it's just important to know everybody's HIV status. All of the data was self-reported, including the HIV testing, as well as the cardiovascular disease and diabetes, and with HIV testing, it's possible that that could be underreported because of the negative stigma associated with HIV, and that some populations may have been underrepresented in the BRFSS data if they did not participate in the survey. But some strengths that the BRFSS survey did have, it did allow us to look at HIV testing rates of a large multi-state population, and it also allowed us to look specifically at HIV testing among a population that had a pre-existing chronic health conditions.
Before we open it up to questions, I just want to make a quick announcement on behalf of the HIV/AIDS section. Tuesday night, tomorrow evening, is our final business meeting and social, and it is off-site at La Tosca. Do you have the flyer with you, Michael? I don't know the exact address, but Michael's going to get it for me, because he's... Yeah, it's very close. It's on 7th. Anyway, so it's at La Tosca. It starts at 6:30. So we're going to have a little business meeting first to tell you a little bit about our section and give out some awards for abstracts. And then it will be our social hour. So we invite you to come. Make sure you bring your APHA badges so we know that you're with us. But please come and tell other people you think either are in the section or might be interested in the section to join us so we can meet all of you and get to know each other a little bit better.